That's the news.
Thanks very much, Mark. Now we're going to turn to a story, a new film about J. Robert Oppenheimer. He was, as many of you recall, the father of the atomic bomb and is considered one of the 20th century's most influential thinkers.
If Robert Oppenheimer could not be trusted with the nation's secrets, who could be? Brilliant, proud, charismatic. A poet as well as a physicist, Oppenheimer had seemed to enjoy the full trust and confidence of his country's leaders. He was a national hero, the man who had led the scientific team which devised the atomic bomb. The ultimate weapon of mass destruction.
The story of Oppenheimer's dramatic rise and fall is told in a new film, which you just heard a bit of, called The Trials of J. Robert Oppenheimer. And we're joined now by the writer, award-winning producer and filmmaker who put this together, David Grubin. Welcome, David.
Hi.
So essentially, this is a story about a very dark chapter about American history when, ultimately, a brilliant scientist was betrayed by his government, right?
Indeed. It asks the question of, How could it be that a man who had served his country so well and was an advisor to the highest levels of government, a national hero, why did his country turn on him? Not only take away his security clearance, but humiliate him and so badly that strip him of his dignity in a trial that left him a shell of the man he was before.
And let's explain. It was the 50s, and he was the target of anti-communist sentiment, accused of essentially having communist sympathies. Why?
Well, that was really the pretext. Oppenheimer's wife had been a communist. His brother had been a communist. And Oppenheimer, although no one has ever been able to prove that he himself was a communist, he certainly had communist friends and sympathized with many communist causes during the 30s, as did many American intellectuals during the time of the Depression. But he himself was not a communist. And that became a pretext for this trial. It was really a political battle. It was a battle between those in the government who felt that the only way to protect the country was to build more and more and more nuclear weapons. And Oppenheimer was a voice for moderation.
And he was plagued, as you described him, by the contradictions that his major scientific development of the atomic bomb brought about, but then also the absolute destruction of the atomic bomb. Let's listen to how he describes it.
We knew the world would not be the same. Few people laughed. Few people cried. Most people were silent. I remembered the line from the Hindu scripture, the Bhagavad Gita. Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. I suppose we all thought that one way or another.
David, his voice sounds tortured. For him, it really was a moral and scientific debate.
Well, here's the interesting thing about Oppenheimer. Those lines that you just heard are very moving and incredible to see him deliver them. He speaks those lines many years after the 1945 test of the bomb, and he's describing the first test at so-called Trinity at Los Alamos. The interesting thing is that at the time, Oppenheimer really didn't anguish over the bomb, and he didn't say this at the time. Oppenheimer had only one goal at Los Alamos, and it was to see if the bomb would work. And that's what he really anguished over. He got into the whole business of trying to create this bomb because the government and the scientists feared that the Nazis were going to get the bomb first, and they were determined to create this bomb before the Nazis did. And that soul-searching anguish really didn't come at the time. When the bomb test went off, when it exploded, the first atomic bomb exploded in the deserts of New Mexico, Oppenheimer never said those words. All he said was, it worked. And he said that with great relief.
Although they knew at the time that the war with Germany was essentially over and that the bomb would only be used against people who were really no threat to the United States anymore, it's interesting to me how someone with such moral regret and a genius could be so blindsided by this Washington effort to utterly discredit him. Why do you think he missed it?
I think he was somebody who was so plagued by his own doubts, by his own doubts about himself, combined with a kind of arrogance that he was ripe for the picking there. It's a tragic moment in his life because he was so brilliant, and yet he had so much self-doubt that he wasn't sure of himself, and they picked him apart.
You describe him as brilliant, proud, and charismatic. That was the clip that we heard at the top of this segment. How do all of those things go together with that self-doubt that you just described?
Well, when you see the way he grew up as a child, he was so precocious. He was preternaturally brilliant, and his parents raised him in a kind of hothouse atmosphere, kept him separate from other children, and he couldn't relate really to other children because he was so brilliant that it took him a long time to have what we would think of as just normal social interactions.
I mean, he found that normalcy in, ironically, the place where the bomb went off first, in the deserts of New Mexico, where he had his own real moments of peace, and yet that began what really was his undoing.
Fascinating, isn't it, that the only time that he really felt those doubts went away was when he was working on the bomb project. And as you say, the irony is that that bomb project led to this tremendous burden that he carried after the war of having been responsible for the bomb.
Well, David Gruben, we want to thank you for joining us this morning, and I want to remind folks that his movie, The Trials of J. Robert Oppenheimer, is a part of a brand new season of The American Experience. It begins Monday, January 26. We thank you for joining us, David Gruben.
And thank you.
And of course, it's produced at our partners, WGBH in Boston, and with David Strathairn, the amazing actor playing J. Robert Oppenheimer.
It's sort of a mixed dramatic documentary style film.
But, you know, it's also the year that Dr. Atomic, I mean, Oppenheimer is the subject of an opera. So, you know, the idea of Oppenheimer as an amazing tragic figure in American life is all over the culture these days. So also all over the culture, in case you haven't noticed, is our new president. What does he need to focus on first? Give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. And when you do your taxes on the night of April 14th, it would help to ask yourself maybe, what would Tim Geithner do?
Really, what was his state of mind? What did he know and when did he know it? When he filed his return, did he know that he had this responsibility to pay the estimated tax, or was there something more nefarious here?
Kind of an IRS takeaway from Don Williamson, a Washington, D.C. accountant and chair of the accounting department at the Kogod School of Business at American University, talking about Geithner's problems with Congress. In these tough times in the job market, we're asking what you need for an economic boost. You're all members of our Economic Advisory Board. Contribute to the Takeaway's economic stimulus plan. Tell us what you need on our website, takeaway.org. And there are all kinds of interesting graphics to indicate, you know, what the priorities are based on our listeners all over America. We're always on. If you missed anything, take our podcast to go. You might particularly want to listen to that fascinating interview about J. Robert Oppenheimer that we just did. Subscribe now at thetakeaway.org or at iTunes.
I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Huckenberry. This is The Takeaway.